let's get started. Welcome back to Bloody Bizarre.
My name's Emma.
I'm Sarah.
Sorry, I forgot my...
Your cue.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make me do the whole intro.
How's it going?
Fine.
<It's> okay.
It feels really weird when you ask me how it's going when I've already been here for like 10 minutes because then I'm like...
Well, you'll know I didn't ask you when you walked in.
No, you didn't. Rude girl.
I was saving it for here.
Right, okay. Well, we've already had like a chat for, about 10 minutes. So it feels weird to then restart the chat with what is usually said at the beginning of the chat.
Okay.
Anyway, we're recording at Emma's house again and Tilly is here sitting watching us, but I don't know how long she's going to be chilled out for. So this might be a baby noises episode. Apologies.
Yeah. You know how we love them. Anyone you want to shout out at the beginning?
Yes, actually. So I wanted to say thank you to listener Deb, who shared us on her story. And also I was chatting with her on Instagram. And if you want to chat or anything, not about anything, like I don't have that much time, but
thanks Deb.
Yeah, reach out over on the gram. But yeah, Deb shared a story saying she was listening to us, so that was very nice. And oh shit, I have to message her back. Fuck.
Okay.
Just know I'm not good at messaging people back because.
Okay, great. So engage with Sarah over on Instagram, but she might not message back.
Yeah, well, I'll message back eventually. It's just there might be like days in between. But that's I'm like that with everyone. So
it's worth it.
And I also wanted to say thank you to our friend Britt, who has given us a new segment for the show. So Britt has given us these true crime trivia cards, and what we're going to do is ask each other a question at the start of each episode just for fun because
okay.
There's like a whole pack of them.
All right, so I'm going to go first.
You do one, then I do one.
Okay. Oh,
also, Tilly's a bit snuffly, so the baby noises might sound a little bit more...
I think sniffly is the word, but...
Snuffly? Sniffly?
Sniffly, yeah.
Well, if you hear that, it's not either of us, it's Tilly.
Okay. Far out. Why do people listen to this show?
Yeah, no.
We don't respond when you message us. There's always baby noises.
This is the kind of character that you don't get from super polished, fancy podcasts
it's
who have...
It's definitely like- not polished. Okay, I'm going to go first reading the true crime trivia. Sarah?
Okay, do it. Play along at home.
Should we reveal the answer at the end of the show?
Nah, because I think we'll forget.
Okay.
You know what we're like.
Yeah, good call. Okay. I know this one.
Okay.
Let's see if you know it.
Okay.
What famed mystery writer suspiciously disappeared in 1926, sparking manhunts and media frenzies, only to show up safe 11 days later?
It was the woman.
Yes.
I'm just trying to remember her name.
Think about the shows that Mum loves.
Yeah, she wrote like Poirot and stuff.
Yep.
Fuck, what's her name?
If I gave you the first name, you'd get it.
Yeah.
First name is Agatha.
Yeah, Agatha Christie. Yes.
Yeah, yep. You knew who it was. Yeah. Well done, Sarah.
Thank you. I'll read you one. Okay. This you won't get this one.
Well, let's see.
Okay. For 35 years, retired school teachers Jerry and Rita Alter kept a stolen what in their New Mexican home?
A stolen tablet.
It was a painting.
Okay.
A Willem de Kooning painting. That one was boring.
I was close. So thanks for that, Britt.
We're going to do one of those at the start of
every
episode.
So you'll learn something, not just what we're telling you. Okay, I'm going to get started.
Yes, please do.
Okay.
I don't know what you're doing this week.
Ooh, you're in for a treat.
Okay. I'll be the judge of that.
You asked for a lighthearted one this week to make up for the few heavies that we've had. And I have delivered today in the form of a conspiracy-laden airport.
Oh, are you doing Denver Airport? Hell yeah. Yes,
that's
love
right.
This.
Today I am covering the many conspiracy theories attached to Denver International Airport, also going to be referred to as DEN and DIA.
Cool, cool, cool.
My sources today are the Denver Post article by John Wenzel, flydenver.com, Denver7.com article by Mark Belcher, Denver.com article by Visit Denver Staff Writers, and literally yesterday I listened to an episode of Conspiracy.
Okay,
this.
Cool.
Denver International Airport has become one of the world's busiest airports since opening February 28, 1995. In 2022, 69.3 million passengers passed through the airport, making it the world's third busiest airport during the global pandemic. In 2023, DEN welcomed a record-breaking 77.8 million passengers, a 12.3% increase on the previous year.
Wow. This is one that, for once, we don't have to put it on the road trip list because we've both already been there together.
We have, and we saw some of the things I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, sweet.
The airport is Colorado's primary economic engine, generating $36.4 billion in annual economic impact for the state.
The airport is.
Uh-huh.
That's weird.
Denver International has plenty of, well, Perth Airport is a huge economic provider for the state.
Do they count like the tourists that come in and Yeah.
And also the airlines pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Clifford, can you please? Oh, he's lying down. It's the best we can hope for.
Yeah.
Denver International has plenty of room to grow to expand its current facilities and accommodate growth. The airport operates on 53 square miles, that's 34,000 acres or 137.8 square kilometers of land. That means the airport's area is twice the size of Manhattan and larger than the city boundaries of Boston, Miami, or San Francisco.
Holy shit, I didn't realize it was that big.
In terms of airports, get this. Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta, Chicago O'Hare, Los Angeles International, and Dallas-Fort Worth could collectively fit into Denver's expansive property.
What the fuck?
That's huge, right?
Why?
Right. Denver's award-winning architecture and views of the Rocky Mountains creates a unique atmosphere for travelers. Jefferson Terminal's recognizable peaked roof, designed by Fentress Bradburn Architects, is reflective of snow-capped mountains and evokes the early history of Colorado, where Native American teepees dotted the Great Plains. That glowing and obviously public relations written overview fails to mention that the airport opened 16 months and nearly $2 billion over schedule.
Oh.
It also doesn't mention the wide-ranging and high-numbering conspiracy theories that have been associated with the airport. Conspiracy theory...
Well, you know, greatness, you always have haters, so...
Okay, well, maybe these haters are onto something. Mm. Conspiracy theories about Denver International Airport have taken flight for more than two decades.
Did you write that?
Yeah.
See? Hilarious.
Taken flight for over for over two decades, owing to the airport's mix of unusual public art, unusual, maybe not the right word, but bold architecture and infamous construction problems, which leads to an internet-fueled cycle of self-feeding paranoia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Love that.
I think I wrote that too.
Mm, that's nice.
Before I jump into the... So I had a plan of how I was going to do this story today, but on my drive home this morning from Bunbury, I decided to switch it up. So this, I'm going to be flying by the seat of my pants.
Okay.
I love that saying so much. I think it's really funny. And I'm going to do this on the fly a little bit.
Great.
So, first of all, I think it's important to give a little bit of history about Denver and the airport situation when it was under construction, right? So, prior to, I think it was 1978, the government regulated the airline industry. So, they told airlines how much they could charge.
Yep.
They told them which routes they could take. And it was designed to kind of make sure that the airlines... stayed afloat. So you'll see what's happening in Australia because it's unregulated. Bonza's gone under. Rex has gone under.
What? Rex has gone under?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, it's in administration.
Who's going to fly out to middle of nowhere?
I think they're still operating their regional routes.
Okay.
At the moment, but right. That's going to, I'm sure, drop off. So that's as a result of zero regulation in the airline industry. Now, you could argue that the airlines being able to regulate themselves means lower prices, which it does for the consumer, but it also does allow for these kind of situations to happen where...
Do we get lower prices? I feel like it's fucking expensive.
So it is fucking expensive, but that's because the airlines are kind of self-regulating and they kind of...
Greed.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really lead to lower prices.
So in America, it did because prior to the unregulation, or what's the word? Dysregulation? Prior to the airline industry becoming unregulated, the government was the prices were higher because airlines couldn't be competitive.
Okay.
So anyway, in 1978, this airline, what is it called? The Dysregulation Act or something like that of 1978 meant that airlines could alter their prices, alter their routes so that they could fly to places where there was more demand and all that kind of shit. Now, what this meant was that the previous Denver airport, so not the one that was built and opened in 1995, the previous one was starting to be not fit for purpose. So Denver was growing. The airport was not fit for purpose. They decided, and also because it was built so close to the city limits, there were regulations on how high they could build skyscrapers in Denver. So they weren't allowed to build them too high. And people were like, look, we need to build more. There's more people coming to the city. It was like 200,000 people growth or something like that. Yeah. And also the previous airport was not situated well in terms of wind and the Rockies, the mountains.
Yeah.
They were impacting it as well. So they undertook, after the government handed over regulation to the airlines, they decided, okay, we're going to need to build a new airport. And they decided, we're going to build this international. And the people of Denver didn't want it initially. And so they went on this huge marketing campaign, been like, it's going to be great, please. Like, because it was scheduled to be costing $2.8 billion, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And so the people were like, we don't need it. Like, we've got an airport.
Yeah.
It's going to cost heaps of money. And so then the architects and the designers and the kind of project people were like, okay, then because this is such a contentious airport, we're going to have to make it like
beautiful
and a bit of a cultural kind of icon.
Okay. Yeah. Right? That answers a question that I had from the beginning of like, why did they bother with all this random stuff? I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love a bit of whimsy and like just adding random things in. But I also
There was reason for it. Yeah. And another thing that they decided was, okay, this is also going to be a state-of-the-art airport. So what we're going to do is we're going to build an underground system of baggage handling. Now, ordinarily, baggage handling is done by humans.
Mm.
Denver Airport go, okay, we want this to be all automated, so much so that it takes it from the baggage claim straight to the airport and loads it onto the plane for you, right? They're like, it's going to be the first of its kind and it's going to make everyone be wowed by this airport. Now, when press showed up, and this is even like so far into the building of this airport, they like so over time, the press showed up to see this baggage claim thing, this baggage handling in action, right? And what happened was bags were flying off the conveyor belt because of the tight turns and the speed at which it was going.
Yeah.
And the ones that did make it to the tarmac were just catapulted onto the ground.
Oh, my God.
No. It was a complete disaster. So ultimately, they then abandoned this underground system that cost like it would have been the majority of the over budget was on this like automated system.
Oh.
And it was also part of what made it go so over time.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they had this whole network of like
tunnels.
Yes.
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah. Okay. So that is kind of the backstory of where this airport came from.
I can already see the conspiracy theory.
Yes.
Loading.
Yep. So the conspiracy theories that are attached to the airport. The airport used to try and distance themselves from these conspiracy theories, but in more recent years they've just decided to lean in to the less controversial ones.
Yeah,
there are some that they're like, we don't want to talk about that, but
okay,
yeah, but there are quite a few that they're like, oh, what are we doing? Quote, we have a CEO who really embraces the conspiracy ideas, said Heath Montgomery, senior public information officer for DEN. I'll also mention here that this article that I'm largely taking from was written in 2016. So I'd say that the people and their positions are not accurate anymore.
Okay. But
this is accurate as of that right date. We decided a few years ago that rather than fight all of this and try and convince everybody there's nothing really going on, let's have some fun with it. Denver Airport now features a modest museum-style exhibition of the most notable and least controversial theories. in honor of October as, quote, conspiracy month.
Is October conspiracy month?
Well, no, but October has Halloween in it.
Okay, yeah. It's like spooky month, I guess. Yeah.
And they've just decided, like, let's use that.
Okay.
You may even see giant lizards dressed in construction gear with words next to them saying, apologies for the noise, it takes really big drills to get to the underworld. And there's like various little like things like that. Like it says building the world's best airport or a new world order or something like that. Like there's like, they're,
I
really,
love that.
They're
yeah.
really leaning into it. Events have included a conspiracy themed costume party and a free Close Encounters of the Third Kind screening. That film was chosen because the coordinates for the alien landing in the 1977 film supposedly point to DIA's location. In reality, those coordinates actually lead to an empty field 51 miles northwest of the airport. But that doesn't stop people. Facts don't matter.
Yeah, never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Now, most of the theories, airport management says, are so laughable and easily disproved that DEN is happy to weaponize them as marketing tools that in turn translates to an estimated, quote, hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars in free publicity. Still, despite some of the theories being, quote, laughable, most persist, so let's go through some of them. This isn't all of them. This is just kind of the most frequently cited. Was that too much of a preamble?
No, I think that's important stuff.
An important backstory.
Important background.
So here's theory one. The Freemasons, a century-old secret society, has controlled the airport ever since it opened with ties to the New World Order, a group of global elites who wield power over international affairs. Now, we did touch on the New World Order and like the Freemasons and kind of that, you know, cabal of ruling elite in the
Bohemian Grove.
Yes, Bohemian Grove episode. So if you want to listen to that, head back to that, whatever number that was. Are you been a rascal?
Just trying to talk.
You've been a rascal. Okay. This theory was developed from a dedication plaque at the airport's south entrance, dated March 19th, 1994. It contains a time capsule and bears the symbol of the Freemasons, as well as reference to the New World Airport Commission.
Why does it have the Mason symbol on it?
Why indeed?
Ooh.
Strange markings have also been noted around the airport, supposedly indicating secret or alien languages. There's shaking her head at that one. Okay. Now, while the Freemasons are a legitimate fraternal and historically secretive,
I was going to say, the Masons build buildings in Perth all the time. There's like Masonic care and like all of that stuff.
They do, yes.
Our granddad was a Freemason, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He's dead now, though.
Yeah. That means that if women were allowed in, we might be allowed in. Well, I don't know how it works. I'm assuming it's like stonecutters. Yeah.
Unfortunately, no, we are the lesser sex. So, yes, the Freemasons organization, they do have civic ties to the airport's dedication, but there's no evidence to suggest they have a hand in ongoing planning or decision-making at the civilian facility. Officials of the airport say the fraternal organization, which is still active today, is commonly involved in the erection of public buildings, as you said. I also think it's funny to use the word erection with a fraternal organization. The time capsule, to be opened in 2094, contains coins, a signed opening day ball from Coors Field, the baseball field in Denver, former Mayor Wellington Webb's sneakers, and a few Black Hawk casino tokens, among other items. Now, conspiracy theorists reckon that there's also this nerve or like chemical agent in there that's going to wipe out some of humanity when it's opened.
Why, though?
Why? Yeah, like, I mean, there's the thing with conspiracy theories is you don't really have to provide much evidence. You can just say...
That's it. The ones that I like are the ones where it's like it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But that, it's like, okay, they're going to kill some... It's just like a terrorist attack.
Well, I guess the idea is that you kill off people and then there's so few left that you start this new world.
Yes.
The New World Airport Commission was named by Charles Ansbacher, an arts advocate who died in 2010. The name is likely a reference to Dvorak's New World Symphony, according to a 2007 article, and the commission was created only to orchestrate the airport's opening festivities. So it's no longer around. So it's unlikely that the New World Airport Commission has any reference to the New World Order. But, you know, it is, I can see the...
The rich fuel tapestry. To the flame, yep.
One popular theory is that the Braille tablet above the dedication stone is actually a keypad, and that if you touch the raised dots in the correct sequence, you'll be able to open the time capsule. Even some current Masons seem to buy into the myth. One airport employee saying she's heard reports of Masons visiting the capstone and trying to swipe their Masonic membership cards near the time capsule just in case.
Worth a shot, I guess.
Yeah, worth a shot, yeah.
If I had one, I'd try it.
But we don't because we are...
Because we're women.
But women. The strange markings I spoke about, they are actually Navajo language... characters.
Strange language.
And they have references to other airports. So that one, you know, it takes the smallest amount of research to disprove that one, but, you know.
See, she's very snotty.
Yeah, she is.
I've been using the bulb thing.
Oh, yuck. Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
It works really well.
Stop talking. Those who perpetuate the conspiracy theory say that the explanation doesn't cut it. And why would there be a Freemason logo on the plaque if they weren't involved still?
Because they helped build it, right?
I don't think they helped build it. I think they
gave money.
Yeah, and they maybe orchestrated the opening, like helped with the opening. They also highlight the various other points throughout the airport that signpost a New World Order. Let's talk about another theory. The airport's 40-piece public art collection, most notably its colourful 28-foot wide murals by artist Leo Tanguma, its Notre Dame gargoyle sculptures near the east and west side baggage claim areas, and the Mustang sculpture, aka Big Blue Horse, or Blucifer, as the locals call it, near Peña Boulevard, are clues to a sinister influence at the airport, alternately credited as either Illuminati, Freemasons, New World Order, or even Nazis. So they haven't really settled on one. They're like, it could be anything. Like most DIA conspiracy theories, this one roughly parallels the rise of the internet at the time of the airport's opening and has been given fuel over the years by radio hosts like George Norrie, TV conspiracy backer Ventura, and many others. They point to Nazi or fascist imagery in Tanguma's murals, the ominous and seemingly random nature of the gargoyles, and the fact that a portion of the 32-foot, 9,000-pound Mustang sculpture, which features glowing red eyes, fell on and killed its creator, Luis Jimenez, when it severed an artery in his leg.
Oh, really?
And he bled out.
Ooh, that is a bad omen.
A violent death.
Yeah. Does the mural have fascist imagery or...?
I'm going to talk about what the mural looks like. Okay. We saw it.
Yeah, but I don't remember seeing anything. Okay. Obviously, I had my eyes shut.
Yeah, sheeple.
Sheeple. I wasn't awake.
It does have a Nazi, trooper on the... in the, centre of the mural.
I'm going to look at a photo of it.
Yeah, look at a photo of it.
I'll post these on the Instagram, so go head over there if you want to see a little carousel of some of these things.
Now, yeah, the Nazi is looks like he's been defeated by the Children of the World. That's just one of the murals that I'm showing you. One section of Children of the World Dream of Peace shows scenes of war and death. In the center of the painting is a gas-masked soldier wielding both a sword and a machine gun, while the other depicts happy children from around the globe dressed in colourful traditional clothing and laying down their weapons beneath a rainbow of peace. Similarly, one section of In Peace and Harmony with Nature shows children mourning the death of three women and the extinction of numerous animals as the environment burns in the background, while the other section of the mural illustrates the children of the world coming together to rehabilitate and celebrate nature. The pieces purportedly express the artist's hopeful desire for the people of the world to live in peace with one another and in harmony with nature, but others have been more focused on the anti-themes of war, death, pollution, and environmental destruction, even claiming that the artworks contain clues and messages about the apocalypse and the inevitable rise of a totalitarian world government or New World Order.
I mean, the world burning and stuff like that, that's not really anything new. That's scientists have been saying that for a long time.
Yep. It's also
It's not prophetic. It's that's what we were told was going to happen.
It's a commentary. Another artwork that's raised Eyebrows is a part of Alex Sweetman's Art Chronicles, a photographic series documenting the construction of the airport. The premise sounds innocuous enough, and although many of the photo murals capture serene scenes, for example, a bison standing in a snowy meadow, a field of vibrant yellow sunflowers reaching to the sky, one photo, a field of dead browning sunflowers, which is creepy, can leave some feeling a bit unsettled. And it is a creepy thing. It's just like it's inappropriate for an airport.
it's weird. Yeah. It's like okay.
Yeah. And
I remember feeling that when I was there, just looking at stuff and being like, why? What like, the fuck?
What? Yeah. And like the children of the World Dream of Peace and the In Peace and Harmony with Nature, they're scary murals. Like, why would you do that in an airport?
Yeah. It's very like artistic.
But they're not even good drawing. They're not even good.
No, but I mean like the themes. It's very like makes you think and all of that sort of stuff. But it's like
don't put that in an airport.
In an airport, yeah.
Don't put burning trees.
Like, what the strange. Fuck?
Yeah. So the murals are spooky despite their intended messages of hope. Unfortunately, both murals are being held in storage until construction on the Great Hall is completed in summer 2028, so you'll have to wait a while to check them out in person if you want to.
I wish I'd taken more photos. Like I was looking through our America photos the other day, and I don't think I've really got any of the airport.
Yeah, we didn't take too many in the airport.
No.
We didn't know this podcast was going to be a thing.
No.
Now, the red eyes in the Mustang sculpture, they are apparently an homage to the artist's father who worked with neon signs. Quote, hindsight's 2020 because it really could have been any colour of neon, said Heather Kaufman, Director of Arts and Public Events for DIA.
I don't know if I buy that. I feel like glowing red eyes is like anyone can...
People reckon it's a reference to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and that he's like a harbinger of doom.
Yeah, kind of.
You agree?
Well, it was the apocalypse for that guy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
It was the end of his world.
So I guess it's true. Now, the gargoyles in the baggage claim area, while they may appear a little suspicious, and I don't know if, again, an airport is the right place for gargoyles inside, gargoyles have often been used over the centuries in architecture as a totem to help ward off evil spirits and protect the buildings they stand on. At DIA, the gargoyles emerging out of open suitcases were installed at baggage claim intentionally to protect travellers' luggage, according to the airport's website. It's like...
Again, it's just weird.
It's almost like these explanations are shoehorned.
Yes, exactly.
Like, just say, yeah, we fucked up.
Or, like, just be like, we wanted to make it weird. Or, like...
Or just say, like, we had a really, like... we had an art director at the time that didn't really get it right.
We had an art director at the time who was a weirdo.
Drinking.
Drinking.
A lot of people are like, it's just a few too many coincidences or like a few too many weird things. Mm-hmm. Let's keep going. Theory three, hidden beneath the airport's underground baggage transport tunnels is a secret bunker or a series of bunkers designed to house billionaires and global political elites in the event of an apocalypse. It's also believed that lizard people or reptoids and potentially aliens are also lurking down there. There's also said to be a tunnel that connects Denver Airport to NORAD, which is North American Aerospace Defense Command, and that's nearly 100 miles to the south near Colorado Springs.
So I actually buy into this one a little bit because...
Okay, hang on. You buy into the reptoids?
No, buy into the tunnel.
Okay.
Connects.
Okay. Any why?
Yes. Okay. So I think, you know how you were talking about they did the, you know, we're going to do the underground baggage handling, blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, oh, it's shit. We're going to have to abandon it.
Yep.
That is a great way to be like, this is why we need to spend billions of dollars on underground tunnels, but we've just fucked it up. So we're just going to leave them there. Like, it's a good sort of like.
Okay. But the tunnels don't go to NORAD.
That we know of.
Yeah. Okay. contractors who originally worked on the airport, which went over budget and opened 16 months behind schedule, as I said, reportedly saw evidence of bunker entrances and unexplained tunnels.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go.
There it is. A multi-million dollar automated baggage system failed to work as designed, as I said, fueling doubts about the intent and scale of construction, mm-hmm. as you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
An alien drawing has appeared on the walls, and blurry footage of lizard people has appeared on conspiracy websites.
Okay, all right.
I'm lumping you in with them now.
It's just the people that they got to dress up like.
Okay, all right, okay, potentially.
And then a blurry photo of those people.
Listen to this spooky one. I don't believe it, but it's like, oh, imagine. After Jordan Peele's 2019 horror film Us premiered.
Yeah, scary.
Some even posited that the tunnels beneath the airport could house a community of murderous doppelgangers ready to rise out from under the earth and take over the surface.
Oh, God. I hate that. Oh, imagine. Imagine if there was like... So, like, one day you went crazy and you, like, murdered someone or, like, whatever. And it turned out that, like, the real you had been pulled underground and, like, this was the murderous doppelganger version of you.
Well, you'll probably find out one day. You know, there are some people that believe that every time you take part in high-speed travel, you lose a part of your soul. Did you know that?
Who believes that?
I don't know. It was on this podcast. I think it's because humans were never meant to go faster than, like, the speed of a horse.
That sounds like those people that back in the day, they thought that women couldn't ride on trains because their uteruses would fly out.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this. Roughly 1,000 people work daily in the various levels underneath the airport, ferrying luggage among ticket counters, planes and baggage claim areas in a pair of 7,000-foot-long tunnels that run alongside the airport's underground trains. And these baggage kind of tunnels were not immediately ready to use upon the airport's opening. As seen during a tour of the tunnels provided to the Denver Post, all plumbing and electrical infrastructure appears to end at the underground area's lowest level.
Appears to.
I'd also mention that this little bit of information here came from the Denver Post, who were given a tour, and it's like, well, how do we know the Denver Post weren't in on it? How do we know the Denver Post weren't shown what they wanted them to see?
Exactly. They were given a tour. So it's not like they just turned up and were like, we're going down there. Like, they turned up because they were like, come and have a look. We'll show you there's nothing weird.
Yeah. Furthermore, over the years, little personal touches have been made, Montgomery said, of the tunnels, pointing to the hand-drawn alien image, which is the one I mentioned before. So someone's drawn an alien on the wall.
I think that's probably just someone playing silly buggers.
It is, yeah. As well as decidedly non-alien-themed graffiti, like smiley faces. As he drove an electric golf cart under the B concourse, the automated baggage system was actually used in various capacities, mostly by United Airlines up until 2010. Montgomery says, there's a certain mystique to anything you can't see. The fact of the matter is, it would take me 3 days to show you everything down here. So that means he didn't show him everything down there. Finally, airport workers have been known to don lizard masks as pranks while the media are on tours, including one caught on camera by Fox 31 KDVR Denver in a video that's since been circulated as evidence of their existence. And it's often not credited either. So people are like, look at this footage. And it's like not credited to a news station. And it's not like, it's not debunked. And so people are like, oh, so there's lizard people down there. Like,
that is so embarrassing.
Yeah. But then people would say, well, that's a good explanation to make people forget about it, you know?
It's kind of like hiding in plain sight a little bit. Like, let's just play into it.
Yeah.
And make it so it's like a mockery.
Yeah,
and
then, so if you believe in it, you're insane.
Yeah. I don't believe in lizard people. I just want to make that very clear.
All right. I don't think people would be surprised to learn that you do. Additionally, the 90-mile-long tunnel from DIA's remote location to NORAD seems highly unlikely and cost-prohibitive given that the world's longest underground rail tunnel, the newly opened Swiss Alps-traversing Gotthard Base Tunnel, is less than half that length and took more than a decade to excavate and construct. Sarah doesn't look fazed. Sarah looks like she still believes in the NORAD tunnel.
Yeah, I kind of do.
Okay.
Because it's the government. They can just...
Do whatever they want.
Do whatever they want.
All right. Next theory. DIA's location, approximately 25 miles from downtown Denver, the swastika-shaped runway configuration and various barely concealed symbols of Nazism or fascism hint at any number of sinister plots, theorists say. I think the 25 miles thing is because Hitler had a 25-point plan, but I'm not sure why 25 miles is relevant any other way. But anyway, Nazi conspiracy theories have been among the most popular online for the last two decades, and despite its recent tongue-in-cheek embrace of most conspiracies, DIA officials have shied away from the Nazi stuff, as you can imagine. They don't want to touch that.
They'll wear the lizard mask, but they won't don a Nazi uniform.
No. They won't heil on the runway. And people, I mean, them not directly addressing this makes people kind of believe it's a sign of its validity. But you can very much understand why they don't want to touch this subject.
It's a little bit too hot to touch.
Particularly
right now. You wouldn't want to...
No. Although they're happy to have a fucking Nazi in their mural. I mean, he's on the ground, but in one of them he's not. In one of them he's, like, got a weapon. We'll post it on the gram. You can see for yourself. Those looking to dispel the theory say that the runways show a lumpy, misshapen, and largely interpretive swastika at best, and highlight that the rotating fan-shaped design allows for optimal takeoff into and against the wind from different directions. I agree with the shape being optimal for an airport takeoff and landing and stuff like that, but I do also think it's not that hard to see the swastika in the runways. It's pretty evident, I think. It may be worth mentioning, though, that the swastika was used for thousands of years prior to Adolf Hitler's adoption of the symbol. The swastika has been a symbol of meaning good fortune and well-being. It's had negative connotations for less than a century. However, I do think it is the most popular, the most well-known use of it.
Yeah, if anybody has a swastika, you're like, okay, you're
unless it's like one of those decorative Balinese ones. Like,
yeah, but aren't they backwards? Don't they have them backwards?
Yeah, they are backwards, yeah. Well, no, they're the right way. The Nazis put it backwards. Mm. So we're coming to the end here, but here's another good theory. I think you'll like this one. The tiles in the Great Hall that say AUAG represent a virus known as the Australia antigen, which is said could wipe out the world's population.
Why us?
Hang on. I'm going to tell you why it's called the Australian antigen. So hidden in the airport is a tile with a mining cart and AUAG etched into it. You might think that the letters AUAG just there to represent gold and silver, which is their table of elements letters, whatever it's called, and that it's a reference to the gold rush, which built up the Denver area into a major US city. Conspiracy theorists disagree. I did a bit of research on the Australia antigen.
Sorry, she's asleep, but she's snoring, so now you're going to hear baby snoring probably.
Okay. The Australia antigen is called that because it was an Australian Aboriginal's blood sample that reacted with an antibody in the serum of an American haemophilia patient. So hang on. This Australia antigen, it's the surface antigen of the hepatitis B virus, and its presence in blood indicates existing hepatitis B infection. And so they found this out by using an Australian Aboriginal's blood, which reacted with this American haemophilia patient's blood. So I think it's just a way to determine the existence of Hep B in a person. And so it's not a virus that can be released. As far as I can tell, it shows the existence of hepatitis B infection.
Right, okay.
And in many cases, the body is actually able to cure itself from hepatitis B anyway. So it's unlikely that this would be something that could be released and cause mass extinction.
Right. So this is, again, one of those things where it's just a little bit of research.
In fact, an acute infection usually doesn't require treatment other than possible intravenous fluids to prevent dehydration. Of course, unless you have some underlying health issue, but in most people, it is not a death sentence by any means. Mm-hmm. As John Wenzel writes for the Denver Post, quote, "For people with vested interests in sowing doubt about institutions and organizations, the real fear might just be discovering there's a mundane explanation for all these theories. Conspiracies create drama and excitement, allowing theorists to more clearly define and usually reinforce their existing beliefs. They feel alive, adrenalized, and righteous."
Yeah, it's exciting.
He believes these people don't or don't want to accept the mundane explanation, and therefore they cast aside evidence to that end. Theorists have never successfully addressed the notion if the airport and its backers have spent decades and billions of dollars hiding secret global plots and infrastructure, why jeopardize that work by putting so many obvious clues in plain sight?
Yeah.
Quote, no matter what you do, you lose, Montgomery said. You show people the tunnels and explain the symbols, you lose. You clam up and deny it, you lose. So that's why we've started to have fun with these, because people are going to believe what they believe regardless of hard evidence.
Yeah, that's true.
Most recently, Denver has capitalized on the mythical past with a series of ads. One shows Blucifer, red laser beams shooting out of his eyes with the tagline, are we creating the world's greatest airport or preparing for the end of the world? Another one pictures one of the gargoyles in Transportation Security Administration scanner and asks, quote, streamlined security or more secrets? Others just depict...
Is it genuinely funny?
Others depict space aliens, a lizard person, mysterious tunnels, even a cat in a tinfoil hat. All are hashtag Den Files, a play on the X-Files TV show, and urge viewers to, quote, learn the truth at denfiles.com. So what do you think? Is Denver Airport a conspiracy haven?
Probably not, but I still don't know if it's 100% like, oh, it's just art. Like, it's just weird. It's very weird. I don't think that there's lizard people. I think potentially maybe there's, like, something to do with the tunnels. I think that's a bit weird.
You're thinking, like, national security stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Something like the government. I don't know.
The government. Something the government.
I'm really disillusioned with the government at the moment.
I think everyone is. Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you think, listeners?
Let us know. Let us know over on the gram.
Yeah. And let us know if you've been to Denver Airport too. I think it's, so if I'm remembering correctly, it is the biggest airport in terms of size in America and the second biggest in the world.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, what's
size,
the biggest?
Not busiest, just like size.
Yeah. What's the biggest?
I don't know. I'm guessing it's Changi.
Oh, Singapore, yeah.
Or like Dubai or something, but I'm guessing it's Singapore. So let us know if that's wrong. I guess I could just Google it. I don't really care. The busiest airport in the US, I think, is Hartsfield-Jackson, Atlanta, isn't it?
That's weird.
Because it's a really common stopover.
I suppose we're thinking international, but there's heaps, like people in America do a lot of like interstate travel.
I think it's Atlanta. That could be different now as well. Mm. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yep. Get in touch. Let us know your thoughts.
Yep. But that's it. So do you know what you're doing next week?
I do.
What are you doing?
I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, but I am going to tell you that it's one that it has all the hallmarks of an urban legend. It sounds exactly like an urban legend. When I wrote it down to do it, I thought it was an urban legend. It's actually true.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, good. So
a true crime attached to it.
Good. Okay.
A lot of true crime actually attached to it. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Is it the Catman?
No. Okay. Oh, the Catman. What is that?
Well, maybe I'll do him then.
Oh.
All right. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.